Well, when you hear that music, you know it's time once again for a weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And again, joining us on this weekly podcast, John Brodeen. Love having John in the studio. Hey, man, it's been a while. How have you been?
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Oh, let me, if I turn your mic up. There we go.
All right, it's good to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
You know, last time we talked with you, we were talking numbers because you're a number and a stat guy. But now I've got a question for you that I've been thinking about for a while now.
Yeah.
Say you're a first-time seller.
Yeah.
All right, I've had this house for 8-10 years, whatever. I'm finally going to sell. I've bought a house, but now I'm a first-time seller. What should I expect?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of time and effort is spent on educating, you know, first-time home buyers, but a lot of times first-time sellers feel like they're a little bit in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll run through a little bit about what this whole process is going to look like. Usually it starts where they reach out to me, and we're going to set up a phone consult first. We're going to talk about when they bought the house, what they bought it for, what updates they've made. Do any repairs need to be made prior to selling the home? What they owe on the home. The reason for that is so we can do a net sheet to show them what they're going to take away from it. Let's see, the reason they're moving, what if they have their situation all squared away for their next home, or if that's something we still need to work on. If it is, we can help them out with that. You know, when they would like to move, that's pretty important. You know, what their timeline looks like. And then at the end of that, we're going to set up a time for me to come and walk through the home.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of, me coming and walking through the home is so I can get a chance to take a look at it, see what the home looks like in person. So I can work on finding out the value. We'll set something up. I'll meet them at the house. This doesn't take terribly long, maybe 20 minutes or half an hour. The seller is going to walk me through the home. I'll give them some staging advice as we walk through, which is really important. That's all part of marketing home, is making sure it shows well, making sure it's, you know, staged and set up.
Sure.
Properly.
Okay.
So I'll bring some stuff with me as well. So based on what they've told me over the phone and my knowledge, I'll bring some similar homes that have sold, you know, keep it a wide range.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see the range of price per square foot that homes have sold for, just so they have a little bit of information to take away from it. We won't have their exact value at this meeting, because after this meeting, I'm going to go back to the office, crunch numbers, fine tune the adjustments, pick which comps are the best ones, and then, come up with a value. We'll meet a second time to go over that value. So, and we'll talk if they're, you know, sometimes people already know about me, they've been referred to me, they know they're using me,
mm-hmm.
Where we don't have to get too much into this, but if they're interviewing me as well as, you know, a couple other realtors which happens sometimes too, I'll cover a little bit about what makes me different, a little bit more about, you know, my resume and.
Okay. I see. Now that's something I never knew. So if I am a first time seller, I can interview who I want to try to sell my home, which every one of these, I mean, you've got realtors and you've got realty experts.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I did not know that.
All agents are not created the same.
Right. Okay. Well, so, that's obvious after having you on the show so many times, but okay.
So yeah, it happens where, you know, they might get, based on reading reviews or talking to their friends, they might get three names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually if agents are recommended, they're probably pretty good agents, but it's definitely a good idea to talk to multiple agents, you know, and see what each one brings to the table.
Sure.
You know, you want to make sure you ask them about their track record. That's probably the most important thing, because you want to make sure they're outperforming, you know, the average.
Yep.
That's an agent who does a good job is the agent who outperforms the average. And it's, you know, communication style, you know, who you connect best with, that's important as well. So it's good to interview multiple people. So, you know, we walk through the house. I go back to the office. I start crunching numbers. I'm going to, you know, narrow it down usually to three homes that have sold within the past year that are very similar size to the house that I just walked through. If it's a single story, I'm looking at only single story homes, similar year built. Usually we don't want to go more than like 10 years on either side of the
mm-hmm.
year built.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you'll find very similar neighborhoods, if it's in the same neighborhood, or if it's in a pretty similar neighborhood, even if it's in a different part of town, but you know, similar, you're going to see similar price per square foot in neighborhoods where you've got the same size houses, same year built, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So come up with a value. We're going to meet a second time, and we're going to go over the value. We're going to talk a little bit about the listing contract. You know, we've already talked a little bit about staging. We might need to revisit that before photos get taken. So if we're in agreement and everything's going to work well, we're going to get paperwork signed, which officially makes me their agent. Then we get the professional photos set up. So if they've got repairs to make, we work that around their schedule. If they've got a couple little touch-up things they got to do, we could put those photos out 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're ready to go right now, we could put those photos out 3 days. From the time, and we'll do usually do like a second staging consult before those photos get taken. Then what we do is, so photos get taken, takes a couple days to get edits back and get everything all ready, get all the marketing loaded up and ready to go, and then we have our big launch. So that's when the listing gets launched. Usually we'll have a realtor open house that week. You know, sign and lockbox go on the house. You know, you're probably going to get a lot of showings in that first.
Sure.
Week.
Yeah.
We use a service called Showing Time, where it's a third party service that connects the agents directly with the seller. So I don't have to be the middleman arranging showings. It's just super easy. It'll come through showing request Tuesday at 5:30. You reply yes or no. If it works or not, tells the agent they're all set. It allows agents to schedule a bunch of showings in a row really easily. It prompts them for feedback, keeps track of how many showings you've had so you can keep track of it. You can say, oh, in the first week we had 15 showings, second week we had 10 showings, you know, compare that sort of thing. So that's going to be really easy. Prior to the listing hitting the market, I'm emailing all of the agents in the MLS, telling them that it's coming. Once it hits the market, I email them all again, let them know that it hit the market, set up Facebook ads that are going to reach the agents as well as the agents in my office, informing the agents in my office before and when it hits the market, setting up Facebook ads that go to the public, driving traffic to our website, which generates leads, gives us potential buyers to follow up with and see if they're qualified. You know, retargeting ads that drive traffic back to our website from sites like Fox and CNN and ESPN, puts them on those major websites. So those are some of the things that are going to happen right away.
Now, if say you're selling a house for somebody and it doesn't need anything done.
Yes.
What do you tell them about the inside? I mean, do you want it to look like it's been happily lived in and it's a nice cozy house? Or, I mean, do you say maybe you should move a little bit of this furniture out of here to make it look like it's got the room? Because, I mean, let's face it, you can have a really big room and you fill it with furniture and pretty soon it looks like a really tiny room.
Yeah, there's a balance to strike between having too much stuff in there and having not enough stuff in there. For most people have a little too much stuff.
Yeah.
So for the average person, even if the home is really nice and well decorated, there are times where we're going to have them, you know, pare things down a little bit. Minimalize, because you want to, like you said, you don't want the rooms to look small and you don't want to distract from the actual space.
Yeah. I mean, you're showing off your house. Mm-hmm. You're not showing off the stuff you have in your house.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got certain things like kitchen countertops where you'll try to have, you know, maybe three of your best looking things out on the kitchen countertops, take everything else and hide it away for showing some photos.
Sure.
Same thing with end tables, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question on that too. So, you know, if you do put your house on the market and like you said, I mean, you want to get a lot of this stuff out of there. Like what kind of time frame are you on average looking at? Because like for me, you know, I have kids and I mean, what do you have to do? Put all this stuff in a storage unit? I mean,
that's another good question. So, no, we normally don't have to resort to that. Usually what we'll do is we'll use the garage as a storage space, box things up and have the homeowner keep them in a part of the garage. Or if there's a, you know, a utility room in your basement that you can put them in. It's usually not a ton of stuff when it gets all boxed up. So that's usually not that much of an issue. And for timeline, do you mean timeline from like when we originally meet till when the home goes on the market, or
no, like how long you'd have to have all this stuff like stored away? Because, you know, if you take all your kids' toys and stuff and you have them in boxes, well, you know, they're going to want to play with them. And I'm not just talking about like kids' toys, but like, let's say, I mean, you have, like you said, if you have too much furniture, well, if you start putting your furniture in your garage, well, now you don't have a garage to use because you can't put your car in there.
Yeah. And you'd never be putting like a lot of big pieces of furniture. It might be like you take this, you've already got a couple end tables. So you take this one end table and take it out. You take these decorations off of this and box it up and put them away. So it's not going to be moving a ton of huge stuff around. Mm-hmm. So my average days on market is around 70 days. Like we said, contract closes about 45 days. So if my average, you know, things on average for me are accepting an offer within, you know, within a month or less.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if that answers your question, some take longer, of course, some go much quicker.
Okay. I want to add a little bit to that question. Okay. Your pictures first that you would go in and show, you know, take pictures of the house.
Yep.
Could you just move a few things from one room to the other to take those pictures and then, you know, maybe put it all back and the people will still see, well, this is what it looks like a little more empty. And this is what it looks like, you know, if they come in for a showing and, you know, they go, well, okay, there's stuff in here now, but it wasn't, but they still kind of get the gist of it or not.
Yeah. We move stuff around. That's something we do almost every single time is you take something out of this shot in the living room, move it into the dining room and then, you know, other way around, to get the shots. You still want it to look as, you know, minimalized and staged for the showings as possible because, you know, it has to look good online, and then when the person's actually in the house, it has to be clean, it has to be decluttered, it has to smell nice, it has to be fresh and everything. So, yeah, there's that.
Okay, so if you're a first-time seller, odds are you maybe you've got a growing family. Maybe you had a starter house.
Yep.
You're selling for the first time, which means you're probably looking to upgrade.
Yeah.
And with the interest rates now, I mean, this is a great time to get a hold of you, isn't it?
It is, yep. We can help them with both. Usually from most people can't afford to buy their next house without selling the home that they're in right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we coordinate everything where you get your home picked out, and you're going to close on both of them on the same day. That's a whole nother topic for a different show on how we do that, but we'll set it up so you close on both of them the same day. Ideally make it so you can even move some of your furniture and big stuff into their garage a couple days before closing so that that move is easier on closing day. They take the money from your sale, put it right towards your purchase, that, you know, towards your down payment on your purchase, and that's the way it works.
Okay, now I know there's a word for it or a term. When you say if somebody is selling their house for the first time or a first-time seller, and you, okay, comps, that's the word I'm looking for. Quick story, when I bought my house, they couldn't do any comps around here because I live in a log house. So they were actually doing comps at like lake homes and stuff, which I thought kind of would maybe skew the numbers a little bit because let's face it, a lake home might not be much, but the prices are really up there.
Yeah. If anything, that would probably have worked in your favor, but, and this was on an appraisal that you're talking about.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Okay. An appraiser is going to care about the same stuff that we care about when we're doing a CMA. So, and each appraiser has their own order in which they kind of prioritize things. I've found like usually they're pretty similar, but you know, one might give priority to neighborhood while one might give a priority to being like the exact same size as the comp.
Mm-hmm.
Another, you know, but they're going to care about the comps being the same style, same size, same year built, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the same city for sure. Like,
right.
I'd be kind of surprised if yours was rural, I'd understand. If
it's out of town. Yeah, I'm rural.
You mentioned that. So yeah, yep. That makes a little more sense to me.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind it at all if I were you. They may have adjusted for land value if those lake lots are worth a lot more.
Right, right. Okay.
Lot, but yeah, there's a few different explanations.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I paid too much for my house. So, I mean, I was pretty happy with it. You know, you always come so well prepared, John. I see you still got more paper there in front of you. Is there anything more you want to hit on here?
No, that's pretty much it. Once the, you know, we do all the advertising, all the showings start rolling in. We have the realtor open house so agents can preview it for their clients. You know, usually get accepted offers within a month. You know, another 45 days contract to close time. We hold their hand through the whole contract to close time. We help them get through inspection, help them get through appraisal, any subsequent negotiations resulting from either of those two things. Make it to closing and yeah.
So if you're a first-time seller, you don't have to be so afraid and scared and worried and nervous and stressed out. You get a hold of a realty expert like you.
Yep, yep. Get a hold of me if you're worried about what repairs to make and what not to make. That's something that holds a lot of people back, is they think they got to do so much and they don't know where to start. So they just don't do anything, and they know they need to sell, but they don't know where to start. Contact me. I'll tell you what you need to do. I'll tell you what you don't need to do. I'll tell you how you should do the stuff you need to do, so you don't spend too much and you don't, you know, go too cheap, but you don't spend too much. I can help you on every aspect of that.
Okay.
And your ways out from selling.
Okay. And how do they get a hold of you, John Brodine?
Call my cell, text my cell, 701-213-5428.
Hey, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, John.
We love having you on this show.
Yeah, I love being here.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Another of our weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcasts in the books. And again, we'd like to thank John Brodine, your realty expert with Berkshire Hathaway. If you're looking to sell or buy, this is a guy to get a hold of right there. Until next time, everybody, have yourself a great week.